Continental flight attendants have an interim contract deal. December was very good to U.S. Airways. And NTSB wants ELTs more securely mounted. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, January 7th, 2010. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers and Continental Airlines say they've reached a 20-month tentative interim contract agreement covering the carrier's estimated 9,500 flight attendants. Highlights are a 2.5% base wage increase retroactive to January 1st of 2010, with an additional 2.5% increase on September 1st, 2011. Additional terms include profit sharing, sick leave enhancements, company contributions to the 401ks, and numerous work rule improvements. There's also a no-furlough clause in effect for the life of the agreement. The IAM is expected to hold a ratification vote in coming weeks. December was apparently a very good month for U.S. Airways. The carrier released December, fourth quarter, and full year 2010 traffic results on Wednesday, and the data indicates that mainline revenue passenger miles for the month were 4.7 billion, that's up 5.7% from last year. Mainline passenger load factor was 80.8%, a record for the month of December, and up 1.5 points from 2009. The airline's preliminary report to the DOT was 78.7% on time and 97.7% of flights completed. President Scott Kirby also points out the performance came in spite of severe winter storms in the Northeast Corridor. Quote, "Despite the adverse weather conditions over the holidays, thanks to these efforts, we posted our best December on-time departure, arrival, and baggage handling performance since 2005. Simply put, our team ran an outstanding operation throughout the entire year, and we enter 2011 from a very solid operational and financial position." Unquote. The NTSB wants the FAA to require a detailed inspection of all emergency locator transmitters installed on GA aircraft to ensure that their mountings maintain their retention capabilities during an accident sequence. The board referred to the August crash of a turbine Otter in Alaska that claimed the life of former Senator Ted Stevens and four others. Chairman Deborah Herzman observed, quote, "In this case, the airplane was equipped with a functioning 406 megahertz ELT, but this vital life-saving technology won't do anyone any good if it doesn't stay connected to the antenna," unquote. Nearly 5 hours after the crash, volunteer airborne search personnel located the aircraft about 19 miles from where the flight originated. The ELT had activated, but had separated from its mounting bracket and antenna. NATA, the National Air Transportation Association, has released the 2011 revision of its popular guidebook called Refueling and Quality Control Procedures for Airport Service and Support Operations. The complete update includes an in-depth review of topics related to aviation fuel handling, with full-color photos and a new easy-to-read format. FAA Advisory Circular 150-5234A, Aircraft Fuel Storage, Handling, and Dispensing on Airports, refers to this publication as an authoritative source for information about fuel safety, types of aviation fuels, fueling vehicle safety, facility inspection procedures, fueling procedures, and methods for handling fuel spills. Get more info at nata.aero. Up next on ANN, Boeing and Airbus both report nice new orders. Two Gulfstream models are cleared to 45,000 feet in Canada. And a new STC brings onboard broadband to several Citation models. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 7th. I'm Paul Plack. CIT Group, a leasing company, has placed an order for 38 Boeing Next-Gen 737s and purchase rights for 7 more. The order, with deliveries going into 2017, includes 15 900ER extended-range variants and 23-800s. It's the largest order placed by a leasing company for the 737-900ER, the largest and newest member of the 737 family. This is also the largest order placed by CIT for Boeing airplanes. CIT owns or finances a fleet of more than 300 commercial aircraft, including 140 Boeings. Europe's EasyJet has signed a contract to buy another 15 Airbus A320s and to convert an existing order for 20 A319s to the larger A320. The agreement is part of an order book that now totals 242 Airbus A320 family aircraft, making EasyJet one of the world's largest customers for the type. EasyJet currently operates a fleet of 182 Airbus A320 family aircraft. Transport Canada has granted approval to allow Gulfstream G450 and G350 aircraft to operate at their maximum cruise altitude of 45,000 feet. Transport Canada normally restricts flight to 41,000 feet or below, unless special conditions have been met to ensure against rapid depressurization. Gulfstream's automatic emergency descent mode is said to have been key to obtaining the higher altitude approval. Should the pilots become incapacitated due to depressurization, AEDM automatically turns the aircraft 90 degrees and descends to 15,000 feet and 250 knots, allowing the flight crew to regain consciousness and retake control of the aircraft. Banyan Avionics, based at Fort Lauderdale Executive in Florida, reports the recent receipt from the FAA of an STC for the Thrain and Thrain Aviator 200 wireless local area network system for the Cessna 500, 550, S550, 552, 560, and 560 XL. The product uses Swift Broadband 200 class service. The Aviator 200 turns your aircraft into a hotspot and enables pilots and passengers to use Wi-Fi-enabled PDAs, including BlackBerry, iPhone, and iPad, for data and voice communications. Introductory price for the installation is $75,000. The company says it's also pursuing Brazilian approval. Still ahead, your CASA 212 can now get night vision compatible cabin lighting. Astronaut Marsha Ivins is leaving NASA. And be careful where you spill coffee in a 777 cockpit. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Sirius Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, January 7th. I'm Paul Plack. Aviation Specialties Unlimited has received an STC for the CASA 212 from the FAA. The C-212 is used for transportation and surveillance. With a new STC, ASU will modify the cockpit and cabin for supplemental lighting with night vision conformity for Evergreen helicopters. ASU founder and CEO Mike Atwood says it took a lot of hard work. Quote, "This is our second fixed-wing STC. Fixed-wing operators are seeing the necessity of flying with night vision goggles on specific missions. We are thrilled that we can use our expertise to further night vision and safety across the aviation industry." Unquote. ASU also has an STC for the C-208 Caravan and 14 others for rotorcraft. Another one is in the works for the Twin Otter. The Eurofighter Typhoon's latest weapon is not something slung under the wing, but a system with brains that sits on the pilot's head. The helmet-mounted symbology system, designed by BAE Systems, is a sophisticated helmet and support system that displays radar images in a way that creates a virtual view through the body of the aircraft. Using the new helmet system, the pilot can now look at multiple targets, lock on, and then, by voice command, prioritize them. This includes targets over the shoulder, or targets picked up by radar below the aircraft. BAE says the imagery, which remains stable and accurate at all viewing angles, means the pilot can make rapid decisions without ever taking his eyes off the target. The new helmet system is expected to go into service with the UK's Royal Air Force this year. When a company moves in a direction that will require fewer people, some decide to beat the hammer and leave on their own. NASA, which is rapidly handing off its role in low Earth orbit to the private sector, is no different. The latest astronaut to leave NASA is Marcia Ivins, who joined the agency as an engineer in 1974. Peggy Whitson, chief of the astronaut office in Houston, says Ivins has been a tremendous asset. Quote, "We have relied on her expertise for years in many diverse areas, including but not limited to crew provisions, optimal hardware packing, human ratings development, vehicle habitability, and orbiter preflight vehicle checks. Her expertise and dedication to NASA's mission will be sorely missed," unquote. Ivins logged more than 1,300 hours in space during five shuttle flights from 1990 through 2001. And finally, you know that sinking feeling you get when you see a spilled beverage heading toward your computer or other electronic device? Well, the pilot of a United Airlines flight from Chicago to Frankfurt, Germany, may want to consider a lid for his coffee cup next time. The flight was diverted to Pearson Airport in Toronto late Monday. The pilot spilled the drink in the cockpit of the Boeing 777, and that caused the plane's transponder to inadvertently squawk 7500, the unlawful interference or hijacking code, and then 7600, loss of communications. The Toronto Sun reports that after the confusion was cleared up, the plane landed safely in Toronto about 10 p.m. Eastern Time. The passengers were taken on a different plane back to Chicago, then continued on to Germany the following day. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Senior Aviation Medical Examiner Dr. Brent Blue tells us what pilots and any other frequent traveler need to know about increased cancer risks associated with exposure to AIT scanners at airports. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.